Michael Malice here with the fresh dose of Nightshade for you to carve your initials into. Oh, we got curtains. Okay, it's curtains for Malice tonight on The Shine. Should I start calling it The Shine? That's so obnoxious. I kind of love it. Oh, was that the cue?
You said Shine.
Oh, you said Shine, you said tonight on
I
The Shine.
I meant The Shade. I don't even know the name of my show. Okay, I'm beside myself right now. Not gonna lie. Totally beside myself. Before we get to that segment, I do want to thank Amanda and Sean from Girl Bye, who gave me this lovely new addition to my Meteorite co-host, and they said Happy Valentine's Day. So all my little quotes are on here, so it's really, really fun, and I'm happy about that. And now it's time... I've never liked her. Much like everybody. It's time for a segment that we like to call Night Shine. There's birds that are supposed to chirp.
Ah, well, you know, what do you want?
The birds to chirp.
Well,
the hell's going
I'm
on in there?
I'm filling in for Drew, so I don't know where his birds
That explains the
are.
Fuck upery, but you should still get the fucking chirping birds. I want...
All right, ready? Here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Night Shine. Hello, Anthony. Yeah. What do you mean you don't care? Okay. This just happened. Drop the picture. And Don Jr., you saw me yesterday flapping my gums about the brouhaha over the weekend with the tweets and the trail and all that good stuff. I did write an article about it today, sent it off. Hopefully it'll get published tomorrow. I don't want to say where in case they tell me to go F myself. Donald Trump Jr. now follows me on Twitter. Not a troll. I mean, I am a troll. This picture's not a troll. There's actually a Twitter feed called Trump's Feed. It's at Trump's Feed. And they update people who follow that feed as to whether any member of the Trump family follows someone or unfollows someone. And a couple of things. I don't know what this means. I want to get all my thoughts out there and capture this moment for posterity. This is weird. This is the kind of thing where there's no like handbook. No one sits you down and is like, you know, Russian troll. It's almost a certainty that the president, the most powerful man in America, is chuckling at your psych burns. He is going to be seeing your shitposting, and this is a really big deal. Now, I asked John Sereno for advice, producer here. He was useless. So I guess he really is filling in for Drew.
Useless. I mean, I thought I gave you really well thought out.
Of course,
friendly advice.
Useless people think they're giving good advice.
Oh, get out of town! I said, be yourself. I said this could change you. You know, you gotta keep yourself grounded.
He said, be yourself.
Make right decisions.
Be yourself is not advice. Who am I gonna be, Drew?
Well, I mean, it got you this far.
Right, but now that we start from the bottom, now we here. What do we do now? We here.
I don't know, you know, party, baby.
Okay, hold on. Okay. All right. We're going to get my card out. Okay. The rails are ready to go. So, here's why I can't just be myself, and we're going to get all serious up in here for a second. The reason I ever got on television to begin with was North Korea. This is my big issue. And I feel very, very strongly about it. And I don't even want to say feel very strongly about it because I've met very few people who, after they learned about North Korea, it's not like, oh, I feel this way. It's like, these are facts. This is a nightmare scenario, nightmare situation. And a lot of times people on the alt-right will accuse Jews. And by people on the alt-right, I mean basically the average Democrat. Kidding-ish. The Jews have a divided loyalty. You don't really care about America, you care about Israel first. I do have divided loyalty, and my second loyalty is to North Korea. And push comes to shove, I don't. I would not be in this position. I might care about the average North Korean more than I care about the average American. They've got a lot further to go, and they're in a lot worse way, and they need help much more than the average American, even the bottom American. And it's like, you kind of blew it. They didn't ever have a chance to begin with. So I am now, like, when Dana Perino started following me, and Dana Lash, and Gutfeld, some of these other people, I lived in, like, Patton Oswalt unfollowed me. That's fine. We never really interacted. And Patton Oswalt is a humorist, very funny guy. I like him. He's very left on Twitter. That's fine. But it's let him do his work. Like, Dick Manitoba told me on You're Welcome the other week, love the art, not the artist. Fine. This is different. It's not that it's cool that Trump Jr. follows me. It is cool. Fine. The point is, I am one step away from being able to influence one step. It's not even, this is not a fucking big, you know, like a string with all these hearts. One step away from being influenced, being able to influence the one person who is most important in America, in the world, regarding the North Korean situation. And now it's like, all right, do I cut down the ship posting? Like, I don't know what to do. And I mean, when John, you said be yourself, I get what you're saying. But on the one hand, there's two selves. There's troll asshole, which is definitely me. There's also someone who really, really takes this issue super, super seriously. And a lot of times people can't wrap their heads around this, and that's on them. But they're both really me. So I don't know. I don't know what to do. If you want, you can call in, although this is not a call-in show and we won't take your calls. But feel free to dial a number and start yelling, because that's basically what Twitter is nowadays. So I don't really know what to do with this situation. No one is in a position to tell me. On some level, people felt like this was inevitable. Even if it was, it still is real now. Is real. So, yeah, and here's what I think is going to be really interesting. The approach to Trump from some people on the left is like he's a plague, like literally like an infection. And they can't have anything about him around them because it fucking sets them off. So I'm very curious how people will unfriend me on Facebook, or if I will be treated differently, because now the infection, I'm a clay bearer. I'm carrying the virus, besides the HIV virus, undetectable. So I don't know. I mean, I know this is not really the place for rambling, but this just happened. It is blowing my fucking head. I called one of my buddies and I told him, I kind of feel like I'm having a break with reality. Because there is a, it is not at all at this point now, implausible, it's not even implausible, that I will be in the Oval Office with the president talking memes. Like, this is not, what, 20% chance? This is not an unlikely scenario. This was the, it was like in 2008. It was much, much harder for Obama to beat Hillary than to beat McCain. Hillary was just like, it was a given she was going to be a candidate. You're nobody. And he fucking did it. After that, it was much easier. Getting this, getting that communication and being on his radar screen and having, you know, a story where we're both involved, that's the tough part. Getting someone to who follows me to think I'm funny or interesting, once they followed me, he's obviously checked out my timeline because people are watching who he follows. That part's not as hard. So I'm just sitting there thinking, what am I going to wear? Which lapel pin? Do I wear a tie? Do I want to look like I'm going clubbing? These are my concerns. I was honestly thinking this. So I don't know. I know Matt Hughes was in the White House. He talked about meeting the president. I've had imaginary conversations with him already. So yeah, I don't know what this means. And I hope I was just making sense, because I feel like I am in a crazy place. Who was the first big person to follow me? I don't remember. I know when Rogan followed me, that was a big deal. But again, I like Joe. We get on. I'm on his show. Joe Rogan can't help the people of North Korea. Joe Rogan isn't like pals with Kim Jong-un and in a position to close down concentration camps. Like, if I have even a little bit to do with that, I mean, if you guys think I have a big ego now and I'm on my, like, I'm high on my own bullshit, whew, you just wait till I free some slaves. That will bring new meaning to the term uppity me. So that's where we are. I was eyeing these really expensive pants to buy, but they're really out there. And they're from the 60s. They're vintage. I feel like I want to buy something for myself as a gift to commemorate this. And I don't really have anything I want. I just got this rare book. Anyway, I'm babbling now. We have three stories. And I don't know if that's going to be enough time. I mean, if we're going to go short, but then I will discuss them after. I've got some more thoughts about this whole Trump thing. Here's the big one. And this is, you know, this has been a trend in recent weeks. We saw it with Gavin McInnes. We saw it with a few other such cases. Twitter is being sued. Megan Murphy, who is pictured here, she's a Canadian feminist writer. She filed a lawsuit against Twitter for being banned because she misgendered a trans person. She'd been suspended from Twitter, where she had 25,000 followers. 25,000? Why am I wasting time talking about this bitch? I bet you not even Eric Trump follows her. God. Well, my Tinder game is fucking ruined. That's for sure in this city. Anyway, 25,000 followers because for hateful conduct, because she just simply tweeted out, men aren't women. And she has a trifecta. This is from Gateway Pundit, by the way. Cassandra Fairbanks, who's called into this show, wrote this article. She's got a trifecta of lawyers. She's suing them for breach of contract, promissory estoppel, and violation of the unfair competition law. Can you look up what promissory estoppel is? I think it's some kind of armadillo. I'm not really sure. So according to the suit, on November 23rd, 2018, Twitter permanently suspended her account. And the reason was she referred to a trans-identified male, Jonathan Yaniv, using a male pronoun, even though this individual continues to identify himself using his male name on multiple social media platforms. Okay, well, it's the legal principle that a promise is enforceable by law even if made without formal consideration. Okay, you can get rid of that. So that's interesting. I'd never heard of that. So contract law, old school contract law, I took business law in college, so therefore I'm a professor, had something, elements of a contract. How do you know something's a valid contract? One of the elements was consideration. What consideration means in a legal sense is some value has to be exchanged. So if I promise to paint your house and you're not offering to pay me, you're giving me nothing exchanged, that contract is not going to be valid because there has to be some bargain for exchange and consideration. There has to be some money exchange or whatever. So it's interesting that in this case, they're saying even though there's not even a pretense of a contract, bargain for exchange, they made a promise and now they are, it's legally binding. So this individual, Jonathan Yaniv, who used the male pronoun, including on Twitter, as well as in the Google review she shared as part of her tweet, Yaniv had previously filed multiple well-publicized human rights campaigns against female estheticians who refused to give him a Brazilian bikini wax. Wait, so is he F to M or M to F? He must be F. Wait, if he's complaining that they're calling... So it's M to F. Yeah, because she's using his male name. You guys having fun in there? Hi.
Yeah.
Okay. Yaniv publicly bragged that he was personally responsible for having Murphy banned from Twitter. And Murphy's lawyer explained that Twitter grew to prominence by branding itself as, quote, the free speech wing of the free speech party. That was a quote from Jack Dorsey in an interview he did publicly. So it, and according to them, it promised no censorship for legal speech. And the terms of service state that any changes will not be made retroactive. And it'll give 30 days notice to users of any changes. However, when they added the misgendering or dead naming, they did not provide notice despite the promise in their terms of service. Interesting. So according to her attorneys, their rollout was so secretive that the exact date was added has never been confirmed by Twitter or anyone else. Ooh. The lawsuit also point, well, they're going to argue, I would guess, that this isn't changing their policy. It's clarifying. And they're just saying that dead naming is hate speech or hateful behavior or harassment, which has always been part of the terms of service. So we're just clarifying it. It wasn't a change. I mean, that's an easy argument, I would guess, from their side to make. The lawsuit points out that in September, Jack Dorsey testified that the platform does not, quote, consider political viewpoints, perspectives, or party affiliation in any of our policies or enforcement decisions, period. And, quote, our policies and our algorithms don't take into consideration any affiliation, philosophy, or viewpoint. However, the misgendering policy censors one viewpoint. According to 2017 Pew Research poll, 54% of Americans believe that a person's gender is determined by birth and cannot be changed. That's a small number, I would guess. I would have thought it'd be higher, to be fair. Her lawyer is Harmeet Dhillon, who's a great Twitterer. Adam Kandob, who's a professor at Michigan State School of Law, who's an expert in communications law. And Noah Peters, a D.C.-based attorney with experience litigating against big tech. So I am going to cover this story very heavily as the weeks come. And I just want to give you guys some other news. Gavin McInnes's lawyer, Ron Coleman, will be my guest on You're Welcome on March 12th, a month from today. So I'm going to have a lot of information about that. You're going to want to definitely check that out. Now, speaking of lawsuits, you guys have heard of this story with Jussie Smollett. Is it Jussie? It's Jussie. It's Juicy? Are you sure it's Juicy?
Juicy? Jussie?
100% sure it's Juicy.
Juicy.
Okay. Oh, he's floating in there. Okay. Jussie Smollett. So this is where we are with this, because the story didn't ring true to a lot of people, and now the cops are saying they're asking him. He's a star of Empire, which is the black version of Dynasty. They're asking him for more phone records because 2 weeks ago he said that he faced a racist and homophobic attack. He turned over heavily redacted phone records, but evidence has begun to emerge suggesting the story was happening to the point where the cops are even considering charging him with filing a false report. And my eyes itching like crazy, which is a sign of what? I don't know. Monday night, Fox 32 Chicago anchor Rafer Weigel reported that the cops received cell phone records from his camp that were limited and redacted, but the detectives will analyze them. This reporter previously reported that the police superintendent plans to hold him accountable if the investigation reveals he made a false report. Eddie Johnson, the police chief superintendent, said he's still being treated as the victim in this case, but if the investigation does reveal he made a false report, he will be held accountable. This was a tweet. So for them to be publicly speculating about filing a false report, that is really a big deal. And that kind of implies to me that their mind is made up about this guy. However you pronounce his name, Juicy? Why would it be spelled like – what am I asking? Okay. I want to talk. You know, I'll tell you. You know what? When I came to, oh my God, I'm getting triggered. Can you put on Night Rage? Put the Night Rage logo on. I'm having a flashback. I'm having a fucking flashback. Yeah. When I was a kid, oh my God. When I was a kid, we went to yeshiva. I went to yeshiva first, Hebrew school. Half the day in Hebrew, half the day in English. And because I was called by my Hebrew name, Mikael, my English name was written M-I-K-A-E-L. And it was a big deal because no one spelled it that way. Now it's not that nowhere near as unusual, but I correct them. And I thought it was kind of cool I spelled my name uniquely, right? Fine. I transferred to public school in fourth grade. My dad spells it M-I-C-H-A-E-L. And I've spelled it the other way all my life. And I'm like, what the fuck? And he's like, I don't. And basically, he's like, what are you going to do? And that's why it's spelled that way now. And I stopped fighting it. Because I was registered one way in school and spelling it the other way my entire fucking life. Really, Allie? Okay. So, back to Juicy with two Ks. They reported, ABC 7 Chicago, late Monday night, that's yesterday, reported that an empty hot sauce bottle that smelled like bleach was found near the attack. He had told the cops that the attackers wore MAGA hats and screamed, this is MAGA country. And they poured a bleach-smelling liquid on him and put a noose around his neck. after yelling racist and homophobic slurs at 2 a.m. on January 29th. They confirmed a New York Post story about the hot sauce bottle and said it's unclear if that is related to the incident, as it was not discovered during any of the earlier canvases, but we took it for analysis. The FBI is providing the Chicago Police Department with technical assistance on this case at a request. I'm not sure if the bottle went to their lab or ours. However, as for the phone records, they said we're very appreciative of his cooperation. However, the records provided do not meet the burden for an investigation, as they were limited and heavily redacted. They're following up to request additional data. They've not been able to identify any legitimate suspects nor find any surveillance footage. Further, they're guessing that the hot sauce bottle was placed after the fact by him if he made a false report. Yeah. One resident said, I don't believe it happened the way he said he did. And someone else said, I've been in this neighborhood 5 years. I don't believe it. Not around here. Half the people are gay and the other half are black. I'm sure there's a Venn diagram. He plays a gay character on his show, and he's also come out as gay himself. Jeff Garcia, who is a good follow on Twitter, tweeted, the weight of evidence supports what we've suspected all along. This is a hate hoax. He should be arrested for filing a police report and sued. In this era of disinfo, these hoaxes must be held accountable. And Matt Walsh, who's a conservative blogger, says he claims he was attacked by white Trump-loving racists in one of the most liberal parts of one of the most liberal cities in America. No similar attacks have been reported by anyone in the town. Here's the important part. He's on camera walking down the street. There's only a 60-second gap where he's not on camera. But cameras didn't pick up anyone fitting description of these suspects. If they exist, they must have vanished into thin air. Also, he claims he was on the phone but didn't want to turn his phone over to the police. Finally, when he did turn over his records, they were so redacted as to make him useless, and his neighbors think the story's bogus. If this guy wasn't a celebrity, police would have already charged him with filing a false report. It only becomes bogus with each new revelation, according to Matt. Wow. Wow. So, and according to Quillette, the very person who said he could hear the attackers over the phone himself, the guy he was talking to, refuses to let police examine their phone. This is one juicy story. And that's how it's pronounced. It's pretty fucking ballsy to make claims like this that are this specific. It'd be one thing to be like, oh, these guys in MAGA hats came up to me, shoved me, yelling names. They threw a noose around my neck. That's pretty hard to do when you have big hair. I'm not even kidding. Like, to get a noose open on someone's neck is not easy to do, even if they're standing still. Where the fuck did this noose go? Do you think people just walk around with a noose in a black neighborhood or in a gay neighborhood? Do people going to be like, hey, why are there MAGA guys with a noose? Oh, I'm sure it's fine. That wouldn't happen anywhere. All right. Our last story of the day, Amy Klobuchar is running for president. And the funny thing about Amy Klobuchar is they have all these stories that are recently leaked about how she's a crazy, crazy boss, how she's made her staff cry, thrown shit, all sorts of, it's going to be, I've started trolling her. Oh my God. So Junior is going to start retweeting me clowning these Senate, these presidential candidates. Holy shit, they're going to have to deal with me on some level. They're going to have their social media person or the comms guy. What is she doing? Does she think this is cute? All right. Let's play a little bit of this interview where she was asked about her violent, and one of the things I tweeted over the weekend, I'm taking more of a beating than Amy Klobuchar's staff. And Amy Klobuchar is so against domestic abuse, she makes sure to keep it in the office. Let's watch some of this clip.
Found in our politics.
One of the raps on using your tough boss, as you know that, several stories have come out in the last week, high staff turnover Senate. What do you think?
Here's the other thing. High staff turnover is always a good indication that an office is hell on earth. Because, I mean, if you're a Democrat or a Republican, you can work for anyone. You don't need to quit unless they're a fucking nightmare because you agree with their politics. And your own views don't really matter. You're there to serve the senator or congressman. What was I going to say? I don't even remember. Okay, play this.
Fair about that criticism. And what have you learned from it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I know what I was going to say. Here's the other thing. And I commented this a few weeks ago. You know for sure it's one of the other Senate or the other presidential campaigns that's leaking the shit to get her in trouble. This isn't coming from nowhere. Someone is putting these someone is calling up these reporters, and it's not the Republicans. It's either her former staff or her rivals. Go ahead.
First of all, I love my staff. I wouldn't be where I am, and we wouldn't be able to pass all those bills and do all that work if we didn't have great staff. I am tough. I push people. That is true.
Pause it. I hope she meant figuratively. I don't know. Look at that. This is not someone who seems like a happy person or amiable. That's the other thing. When you look at Barack Obama, he's always smiling. Like, when you are running for this office, like, a lot of it's on the subliminal level. And this is not someone who reads, like, Happy Warrior. Even Elizabeth Warren seems much more upbeat than this. Go ahead.
My point is that I have high expectations for myself. I have high expectations for the people that work for me.
What a bitch. You know how if you have a job interview and you're like, what's your worst quality? I'm a perfectionist. I work too hard. I'm too smart. So it's like, are you a nightmare boss because you have a lot of staff turnover? Well, I work hard because those fuckers don't. It's amazing. She's not even saying no. She's just saying, this is corporate speak for, yeah, I'm a thunder cunt as a boss. Go ahead.
Expectations for this country.
Are you ready for all this?
Yeah, I scream at my staff and throw things because it's for America. Can you go back 10 seconds? I'm a tough boss because I care about this country? Holy shit!
For me, and I have high expectations for this country.
What the fuck does that even mean? So, is it true that you shoved that lady down the stairs because there's a typo in your press release? Well, I do have high expectations for this country. Fair. Go ahead.
Is he running for president?
Yes, I am. I have grit, as you could see yesterday. Not everyone would have stood out there where I looked like I was getting older by the minute as the snow mounted on my hair. And I am someone that throughout my life has overcome adversity, whether it was my dad struggling with alcoholism his whole life.
Pause it. This is what's really sick about these sociopaths who run for president. It's like, you know that they sit down with their consultants and they're like, all right, how do I stand out from the crowd? How do I, whatever? Okay, you're an evil robot woman who's like everyone's nightmare boss with that haircut where it's just like you took feminism a little too seriously. How can we humanize you? What's your biography? Well, this, this, and this. Yes, talk about how your dad's a drunk. That'll make people relate to you. And also, frankly, it explains why she's so abusive. I mean, that's how the circle goes, doesn't it? Good Lord. It's just sick to play that card. Like, I've overcome adversity. The first thing she's doing as an example of her strength and adversity, besides I stood out in the cold, was throw her dad on the bus. Yeah, I overcome adversity. My dad was a drunk. Vote for me. Fuck. Sick woman. Go ahead.
Whether it was my daughter being born, she couldn't swallow. We didn't know if she was going to live. She spent a year and a half with a tube in her stomach, and that's how we fed her. And we just kept going, and we rose to that occasion. And she is now living in New York City.
Now look at that. Go back a little bit. When she was talking about that, I think that voice choking up was real, because I'm sure she remembered being a mom and seeing her kid, and it went back to that point, and that fucks you up forever. So when she's talking about, oh, my dad was a drunk, listen. I don't know what it's like to have an alcoholic father. I'm sure it's not fun. But the fact that she brought up so cold, it's like this is – I'm not even going to get into that. But that was sincere. But the card she's playing, man, fuck. Go ahead.
We didn't know if she was going to live. She spent a year and a half with a tube in her stomach, and that's how we fed her. And we just kept going.
Yeah,
and
that was real. No, go ahead.
Yes, rose to that occasion, and she is now living in New York City. Her first job and a great
good
kid.
Hope you get to have lunch with her today. Thanks for coming in
this
morning.
Thank you.
Well, how's she
going
to eat? I mean, why would have lunch with her? She can't eat. That doesn't make any sense. That was a stupid comment, George. Okay, so we've got – so the people who are left to look out for who are going to run or not are – the big ones are Cory Booker, who was Cory Booker, excuse me, Joe Biden, vice president, Bernie Sanders, Senator for Vermont. Eric Holder, Obama's Attorney General, who was held in contempt by Congress, he's thinking of running. Those are the big three. Governor Hickenlooper from Colorado, the Senator Sherrod Brown from Ohio, who cares? But those are the big five. Other than that, we have the field, and it's pretty much everyone who they guessed was going to run is running. So it's interesting that all those articles, when they're where they're like the who suspect, that's because people are already putting out feelers and getting their staff in a row in order. So it looks like Sanders is definitely a go. He's made that pretty clear. Biden's the big question mark. Holder would be such a wild card. Oh, and Bloomberg is the other one. So I will leave you all with those thoughts. And until then, I will see you tomorrow. Read a book. Sweet dreams.